What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch?
Joining us for a look this week at screens big and small is Wenli Ma. Wenli, TV and film reviewer from news.com.au. Wenli, great to have you with us and welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening.
Well, Tick Tick Boom are streaming on Netflix. Yellow Jackets, which is about a wildly talented high school girls soccer team, okay? And the sex lives of college girls, I see. Let's go with Tick Tick Boom. What's all this?
Yeah, Tick Tick Boom is it is a musical film. It is directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is best known for creating Hamilton. So you've got one Broadway legend. And it is an adaptation of a stage production by Jonathan Larson, who created Rent. So you've got another Broadway legend. Mm-hmm. And it features quite more poignantly now, after the death of Stephen Sondheim, it features a voice cameo from Stephen Sondheim. So your third Broadway legend. If you love Broadway, if you love musicals, if you love these sort of, you know, really grand emotional arcs, the highs and lows of, really what a musical kind of evokes in an audience, you're going to love Tick, Tick, Boom because it is catnip for people who love Broadway and musicals. Did I mention Broadway and musicals?
I think you might have. I think I might have got the picture about Broadway and musicals. Is Lin-Manuel Miranda dining out on Hamilton here, or is he breaking some ground?
He's breaking ground in a way because Tick, Tick, Boom is a stage production that Jonathan Larson had sort of mounted before Rent. And so the tragic thing about Jonathan Larson, and it is in the first, you know, scene in the film, so it's not a spoiler, is that he died the very day of Rent's first public preview. So in 1995, I think, or 96. So it is kind of this idea, this movie about, you know, creative geniuses and frustrated creative geniuses needing to share their vision with the world and not being able to do it. And it's set, you know, Jonathan Larson is turning 29. He can hear the ticking clock as if he's about to run out of time because his idol, Stephen Sondheim, you know, mounted his first Broadway play at 26 or 27. So Jonathan thinks it's too late. It is really, really quite beautiful. And I'm not like a huge, huge musical fan. I love Hamilton, of course, and I do like Rent. But, you know, put an Andrew Lloyd Webber soundtrack on and I will probably murder somebody.
I'll probably be the first out the door with you, but go on.
Yeah, but this really got me. And it's got Andrew Garfield in it, who is a British-American actor. It is a career best performance from him. He kind of really captures that sort of urgency and that desperation for success that, you know, people more talented than myself probably feel at the age of 29, which a few years in my past. And I thought the songs were really good. I thought the direction wasn't very showy. Like Lin-Manuel Miranda just sort of let Jonathan Larson's story and his music sort of do the telling for you. Mm. And then, of course, you get that Sondheim voicemail message. And this came out on Netflix less than 2 weeks ago. And then Stephen Sondheim died a few days after that. And you just go, wow. What a time to remember the absolute gifts this industry has given us.
Yes, all right. On the cusp of his 30th birthday, young theatre composer Jonathan Larson, I suppose in real life, navigates love and friendship and the pressures of life as an artist in New York City. If this is your cup of tea, let's have a look from it. In this scene from the movie, Jonathan Larson, played by Andrew Garfield, discusses the future of his musical Superbia while waiting tables at a facsimile of the famous Moondance Diner.
I made 10 copies.
You are an angel on Earth.
This is the last time, seriously.
I know, thank you. Hmm? No, I got you.
I'm gonna pay.
Hey, I don't want you to pay.
Somebody needs to take out this trash.
So I hear you're moving out of John's place. That's the end of an era. We hear him sobbing in the fridge most mornings. It's very sad, actually.
No, we are not talking about that. Wait, Carolyn, you're coming next Friday, right?
What's happening next Friday?
The Superbia workshop.
Surprised he hasn't mentioned it.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Guys, this is the biggest break I've ever had. This is that moment. It's the first time people are going to see the show that aren't just us.
Well, it's good that you're not putting too much pressure on it or anything.
No, but it's true, though. It's like you get to a certain age and you stop being a writer who waits tables and you become a waiter with a hobby.
Boo-boo, you need to ask yourself in this moment, are you letting yourself be led by fear or by love?
That's a nice line, isn't it? Yes, you become a waiter with a hobby.
Yeah, and you can kind of hear the rhythm just in that scene alone, that it is really fast-paced, it whips around and it whips through very quickly.
Okay. Tick, Tick, Boom. It streams on Netflix right now. Now, Yellow Jackets, a wildly talented high school soccer team, becomes the survivors of a plane crash deep on the Ontario wilderness. Okay.
I think, you know, since Lord of the Flies was published 60, 70-odd years ago, the idea, this genre of, you know, young people being stranded without parents, having to fend for themselves, creating a society, what kind of society do they create? Is it one of savagery? Is it something else? It's such a well-worn genre, and there have been some great examples in it. But I think even recently, you know, we've had a show like The Wilds, which is also about a teen girl's plane that goes down, and it turns out they're part of a social experiment. So Yellow Jackets, it kind of starts off with this idea that, like, oh, well, I've seen this show 17 times before. But what it does really differently is that it has two different timelines. There is the plane crash, and yeah, there's like a whole girl soccer team and they get stranded, and it's quite violent and squeamish. But then there is also this other storyline that happens at the same time, which is what happens to the survivors 25 years later. They're, you know, adult women. They are very, very broken adults, and somebody is calling them out. They each get a postcard with a mark that suggests that somebody knows their secret. Now, we don't know what their secret is at the very start, but I think you can probably guess the fact that out of something like 20 survivors, only 4 of them survive, might shed some light on what horrors they may have committed to become one of the people at the end. And so what I really liked about Yellow Jackets, other than the fact that it is quite grisly and it's quite dark and it's moody and atmospheric, it's all those things, but you do get that fallout story, and I don't think you get that usually in this sort of story. You just sort of go, well, those people are awful. What adults could they become? And it turns out, not great one.
Yeah, as you're right, it's William Golding did write the genre, didn't he, with Lord of the Flies. But it's
he
been
did.
But mind you, this actually this situation though has happened before, hasn't it? The
it
plane
has.
Crash in a remote mountain. There was the Peruvian soccer team or
It was Peruvian or Argentinian. It was a South American country, and there are inspirations that they definitely took from that. Maybe I won't spoil the absolute abject horrors of it just yet. But, yeah, for example, you see one of the adult women played by Melanie Lynskey, and she can, let's just say, catch, skin, and gut a rabbit in about 12 seconds.
I see.
Yep.
Might be useful skills. And we'll go. Mm-hmm. We'll say no more. Okay. All right. This is a bit from the trailer for Yellow Jackets.
All I know is that what happened was a tragedy. Those girls were special. They were champions.
I used to think all the sex, the drinking, the drugs, I used to think I did those things because of what happened out there, what I saw, what I did. Hello, Misty. I take it you know why I'm here.
We agreed, say no more than we have to. The truth is, the plane crashed, a bunch of my friends died. And then the rest of us starved and scavenged and prayed until they finally found us.
I think we both know there's more to it than that.
I think we do, yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the whaling community of Nantucket in the 18th and 19th centuries, particularly early 19th century, apparently in extremis and distress, it was permitted to turn upon each other. But
the particular thing
that particular
we won't
thing
say.
That we will not mention. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, all right. Now, here is that's on. This is on streaming on Paramount Plus, isn't it?
It is
at the moment. Right, okay. Now, the delightfully titled "The Sex Lives of College Girls." I wonder what this could be about, Winley.
It is. It's on the box. It does what it says on the box. It's a comedy focused on first-year university students in America, in New England, in Vermont. So one of those really gorgeous states, and it is a ritzy college, you know, ivy-covered brick buildings, like you're walking around Harvard or Yale. Mm-hmm. And it's about four freshman girls who end up dorming together, and they, you know, it's that typical, they discover themselves, they discover their sexuality, they discover, you know, the world, because everyone's had fairly sheltered lives. But what I really like about this show is that I think there are a lot of sort of these teen-focused shows right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, as there always is. There's the reboot of Gossip Girl, there's Euphoria, which is that drama that Zendaya is in where everyone is just constantly depressed and on drugs. There is another show called Generation, which was actually written by someone who is basically still a teenager. And while some of those shows are better than others, what I find as someone who is not a teenager, but someone in their mid-30s, is that they are often really inaccessible. Like, it's made for a particular audience, and I kind of watch and go, my God, everyone is so whingy and angsty, and I can't relate to it at all. Sex Lives of College Girls, very, very accessible, which kind of does make me wonder whether or not people under 25 might actually think it's lame.
That's right. If you're digging it, well, and its target audience is most certainly not.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, because I'm like, well, I really, really like this show. I'm laughing along. I feel like I'm being invited to sharing the fun with them. Mm. Some things are relatable because, you know, adolescence is still universal to a degree, no matores how much technology and social mores change. And I was like, I'm really, really enjoying this. I have a sister who's 21. I haven't asked her, but I'm like, I bet she would hate this.
Oh, dear. It's, where can you see this?
This is on Binge. And I guess the most prominent thing about this show, for, you know, if you don't know anything else about it, is that Mindy Kaling is a co-creator of this series. Mm. So she came up through The Office, was nominated for a few Emmys writing on it as well as starring on it, and then she created The Mindy Project and Never Have I Ever on Netflix. So she's done a lot of stuff. And Mindy Kaling herself went to Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. So I think she is drawing a lot on kind of her own experiences while marrying it, you know, with some fresh contemporary voices of today's youth. But my cousin in America actually went to Dartmouth. She was a first year student when Mindy Kaling was a final year student. And she even remembers now, she's like, Mindy Kaling was this big deal on campus. Everyone knew she was going to be famous.
Okay, this is a bit of the trailer for Sex Lives of College Girls.
Are you just now getting home?
Wait, is this a walk of shame?
I mean, is it a walk of shame if I stayed up all night in the library hooking up with my textbook?
Wow, we are so different.
So excited that classes are finally starting. What classes are you taking?
I literally don't even know. I just signed up for anything that started with intro. Young Stalin could get it. Right? Dude could have been on Riverdale. Oh, I love college.
Hey, is this Leighton Murray's room?
Damn, she's a lucky lady.
She's my sister, actually.
Yikes.
Do not have sex with any of my roommates.
She's not used to guys like you. You should have seen the boy who came to visit her. He looked like a goat.
I did forget my toothbrush.
Put a shirt on.
yeah, I get you. All right, some stars here. Tick, Tick, Boom. This is the musical. Lin-Manuel Miranda, the Hamilton genius.
What are we doing? 3.5 stars.
3.5, yeah. Yellow Jackets, a grim tale of isolation and hunger in the Ontario wilderness.
Very hungry. Yeah. I'm giving that 4 stars because it's stars. Just quite, yeah, it
does
elevates
sound quite,
the genre.
Yeah, it does sound quite good, actually, yeah. And The Sex Lives of College Girls sounds fun. What do you think?
I'm enjoying it a lot. I mean, I think it's got, you know, its flaws. It needs to settle in a little bit, but it's so much fun. I'm giving that 4 stars.
4 stars, okay. Wenlead, terrific to talk, as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.